Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program. What a week for you. The workshop, the town board meeting on Thursday, and today we're recording on Friday after the community coffee at the Hudson Library. Your last one.
For this year, we will resume those coffees probably either March or April of next year.
The workshop at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Explain what a flop camera is. The officer, Tritt, came to the meeting, and he's from Macon County. He told you what it was.
A flock camera records as cars pass by car tags. It is a system that is being used throughout the United States with law enforcement. In fact, Macon County Sheriff's Department already have flock cameras deployed throughout the county. Our police department feels like we need to have some flock cameras on the corridors coming into Highlands. They would have been very helpful with the recent smash and grab that we had downtown. This was just an initial presentation of the concept of using a flock camera. The police chief pointed out something else. Yes, they're used for criminal investigations, but she was saying also, for example, if an older person gets disoriented in their car and goes the wrong way and gets lost, they would be able to go to that flock camera system and quickly find out, using the car tag, where they went, and then direct the search for that person in the direction that the vehicle is traveling. That's really a very important thing. I know some people would think that there are some civil liberties issues with this, but it's an internal system. It is not a public access system. And even law enforcement, they have to have a policy, each jurisdiction, on when to access it and who can access it. And it's only for law enforcement officers, even when they go on, have to state a probable cause reason for using it. There are safeguards in it, but it does help law enforcement, as Officer Tritt emphasized, in making cases and also providing for public safety.
The Boys and Girls Clubs, that is moving forward, coming together with Highlands from Cashers. You mentioned an MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding. Explain that and where we're at with that.
That is the first step in the process of forming a partnership between the Town of Highlands, the Recreation Department, and the Boys and Girls Club. When the recreation property was acquired and we built the recreation center, we used federal funds. It's called a PARTEF grant. Just building it did not end the relationship with the federal government and PARTEF. They want to constantly monitor that we are doing activities on that property that are community recreation activities. So when we build something on the property, like the skate park, we first had to get the okay from the PARTEF folks to proceed. This memorandum of understanding with the Boys and Girls Club is that document that we will give PARTEF, saying this is what we're agreeing to, these are the activities that will take place on this new facility. Do we have your permission to proceed? If they say no, then the deal with the Boys and Girls Club can't move forward. But if they say yes, then we will start another round of discussions as we raise funds jointly and as we develop a lease for them using that building for a long period of time, 25 years or more, serving our young people with after-school activities and programs, other things like summer camp activities. Some people were writing to me this week saying, oh, you need to be more specific about certain lease type issues. My response is, we will do that when we do a formal long-term lease. But right now, we just need to get a basic agreement as a means of getting the PARTEF people to review the project.
You've got to cross your T's and dot your I's, of course.
Well, I will tell you this. Every time you get a grant from a government agency like North Carolina or the federal government, there are always strings and commitments attached to that grant that you have to live up to and abide by. That's the challenge of using grants. If we just simply are going to build something with our own money, of course we follow state procedures, but we don't have those hidden strings from the people that issued the grant. It's our money and our initiative.
Merchandising and marketing in the business district. And that was up for a vote. What did the board decide on?
Well, we had looked at a draft of that at the previous workshop in September. Pretty quickly last night, that new ordinance was approved. It strengthens the old ordinance that says you cannot distribute merchandise, you cannot merchandise and solicit people on the sidewalk in the town of Highlands. We will, of course, enforce that beginning immediately. On Friday morning, the police went to each merchant in the business districts and gave them a copy of that ordinance and explained to them what they cannot do. And what they cannot do, they can't stand in the doorway and holler at people about their product. They cannot stick their arm out with products. That is no longer allowed. Steve, people ought to be able to just walk down the street without being bothered, harassed about buying a product in a store.
It must have been timing because I was right in front of the store that does that the most. And there was a guy that reached out his hand with something in it, and a woman just put her hand up and went, please, and just walked on.
We've gotten a lot of feedback from citizens. That's just not what we do in Highlands. We don't think it sets a good environment for our visitors to be, you know, bombarded with products on the street. If you want to bombard them with products once they walk into your store, that's your decision, but not on the public right away.
Talk about the presentation that Matt Schuler presented on the outage map. This is exciting for the Highlands app.
It is. It's a thing that we've been trying to do for now a number of years with our electrical system and our electrical grid. And what we voted on and appropriated $12,500 this past Thursday night was to create a map that will show power outages, especially during inclement weather. Customers will be able to go to the town website. There will be a button there for power outages that will take them to a company that will be maintaining a map of the town, which will show where there are power outages in a particular area. Matt and his crew, they've been putting in the instruments and hardware on utility poles throughout the town where they're what they call reclosers. Those are basically kind of, I think, a fuse. If one of those reclosers opens, that means that that line or that section has lost power. The map will read that situation that the reclosers open, then it will be sent digitally to that center where it will show up on the map. That's the way it works. It sounds really complicated to me. I'm not a computer expert, but that's the system that we want to start with. Some of the bigger companies like Duke now has monitors on individual meters in an area. We haven't gotten to that level at this time. That's a pretty expensive process. But I think that's where we're moving to refining this system. But this is the first step in that, trying to give that information about whether a power outage has occurred in a particular place. Somebody that's not living in Highlands or during a storm is not here, but at another location, they could remotely access and see if their neighborhood has lost power near their home and whatever. Hopefully it'll be helpful. We were talking, this will not replace the procedure of calling in outages that customers might incur because this isn't so fine at this point to where we can track whether an individual home has lost power. This is more for neighborhoods and just areas within the town.
Will we be expecting a survey to find out how we think and what we feel about business and about the town of Highlands?
We had a presentation by the Highlands Neighborhood Coalition. They have been conducting a survey. They sent it out to 500 people that have homes or rent or here in Highlands. And they shared with us some basic information that they've received at this meeting. It's ongoing. They're looking at the data that they acquired and are putting it together into forms. They had some very interesting findings. For example, they had a breakdown of residents. We have full-time residents. We have seasonal residents. Those are the people that come, let's say, in April and stay until October. And then you have this other intermittent group, about a third of the residents, who are going back and forth all the time. That was kind of an interesting thing. They were looking at what nonprofits the people that live in neighborhoods support. And there was the whole list of that. They were looking at what are the most popular businesses that people rely on, different issues across the board. So I think that was a good first start. Appreciate what they did and that they shared with us. And I do think there's an opportunity for the neighborhood folks and the business folks to get together, talk about some common concerns, and address those issues.
This was your last community coffee. You just came from there at the Hudson Library, and you discussed and you had a presentation for the building, commercial and also residential.
I did a whole program on the different projects that I know about that are going on or maybe on the verge of starting construction. I had a big crowd. I was so delighted. I'm so appreciative of the Hudson Library and all the sponsors that we've had this year. We had the Peggy Crosby sponsor this last event. But it was about the building projects. One, I showed a big house being built. People tend to think about a lot of construction occurring in the commercial area, but we've got residential homes, some of them very big, being built right now. Our local contractors are just over the top in trying to build houses. So that was one area. The other area was the town, our infrastructure, and we talked about the additional circuits, the fourth electrical circuit that we'll be putting in, upgrading and replacing parts of our main sewer line on 64. We talked about the commercial projects that are underway. I took a picture of Our Lady of the Mountains Catholic Church, their construction this week. And what was so funny, Steve, Monday morning I photographed a truck with all the steel in front of it, thinking, oh yeah, I'll be able to tell them that the steel's about to go up. Then the next day I started noticing they were putting them up. By Wednesday I went there, and you know, the first front of the structure had been erected, and I said, I guess that's enough to make the point about where that project is, and I'm sure that sometimes next week probably all the steel for that new sanctuary will be in place. But that's just one example. We have the old Wolfgang's project, and it's about to be transformed by Whiteside Brewing Company of Cashers. They're building that area. Then we have down the street the old Bill's Soda Shop on the corner of 4th and Main. It's my information that there's going to be a new building there, which will be a real challenge to do construction on that critical area of downtown, but we will work with the developer and contractors to make sure that to minimize disruption. Then of course we have the old Scudder's building that's almost complete. We have 8th on Oak houses that are being built next to the EMT facility. And then we have the possibility of a development occurring at the old Bank of America. The word is that a new hotel might be placed there. So those are just things in the downtown area that I think when people who are seasonal residents come back in May, they might be surprised at how many construction projects are going on in Highlands.
And also reminding everyone to get out and vote. I think I saw your sign up there. It didn't say, you know, elect me because you're unopposed, but just get out and vote.
I did paint a sign. I used to be an old sign painter. My hands don't tremble that much yet. I was able to do a hand-lettered sign which simply says, take time to vote. I know everyone will exercise that right and we'll be the better for it when everybody votes, regardless of the candidate situation.
And the Highlands Franklin early voting sites open until November 1st.
That's right.
Steve Day, Ask the Mayor Public Affairs Program every Sunday with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor right here at WHLC and WHLC.com.